Reality Daily listeners, what is going on? Welcome back to Traders Tower. We're here to talk all things Traders Season 2, Episode 10. It's Jeremy here. And you know what? People can operate as a solo trader, but it's always more fun when you have a buddy to do it with. So I've got Wyatt here to talk Traders Season 2, Episode 10 with me. Wyatt, what is going on?
It's going pretty well. You know, I enjoy the traders. I don't want to seem pessimistic, but in my opinion, this was a worse episode than the episode where they didn't even, like, have a banishment.
Yeah, we talked about the episode last week, and you and I kind of hit the nail on the head with this one. We felt like even, you know, whether it was Peter or Phaedra getting murdered or getting banished in that cliffhanger, it was going to be the other walking out afterwards. And you and I were right. So we start off the episode, MJ's big reveal from last week is about to take place. And we see that she does, in fact, choose to banish Peter instead of Phaedra. What were your thoughts about this, Wyatt? Because I think you thought it was going to go the other way.
I did. I think I might have been the only person that I heard or saw online that thought that way. Most people were really giving it no shot at all. They were like, well, if it was Phaedra, they definitely would have given it to the episode. I don't know. I just felt like that with Phaedra being blindsided, they would like for that to start out an episode because, you know, it would take up so much time. And I thought with Peter, you'd want to see the kind of the collective group of faithfuls be like, oh man. And I think that is better to leave in the episode than have it go over. But regardless, she makes that. And I think everybody watching, you know, puts their, head in their hands. They're like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? But it also sealed the fate to me that Phaedra was going to go home this episode. I didn't think there was anything that she was going to be able to do, especially as somebody that's playing a strategic game for the first time, that was going to be able to reverse her fate. So I knew that we would take quite a bit of time with, like, you know, the killing and everything and some of the strategy and the challenge. And I knew that it was going to be a very cut and dry banishment.
Yeah. And I think we talked about how that may have contributed to the long and drawn out episode from the previous week, with kind of a pretty self-explanatory boot for this episode. But we did talk about ways that Phaedra could possibly try to get herself out of this scenario. And we mentioned that one of those options was potentially murdering MJ in the next night, because what that would have done is it would have put a lot of heat on people like Sandra, would have put a lot of heat on people like CT possibly. But when Kate and Phaedra are getting ready to murder, it's not even an option to murder any of the Bravo girls. It's between John and Trishelle, and they choose to murder John. What were your thoughts about the choice to murder John over Trishelle?
Man, I really think that they made the right decision in picking John over Trishelle, because I think Trishelle can be framed as a traitor easier than John. And John, as I mentioned on the show, was very vocal. And, you know, when he talks, people listen, even if it's just the same stuff over and over. But they really made the wrong decision in going after either one of them. I think especially if you're Phaedra, you got to know that, like, when you're saying Peter, 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 and Peter's not the traitor and they actually do banish him, you got to think you're really on the hot seat here. And I think whatever the killing was, it had to have been something that would make people question, you know, what happens. And the best thing for her to do would have been to kill her friend Sheree. Obviously, we knew that she wasn't going to do that. And if you don't want to do that, okay, fine. You got to kill, like, Sandra or MJ or something. You just have to make it where people are at least questioning, where you can maybe pull the wool over MJ's eyes or Sheree's eyes and be like, hey, is she actually a traitor? Would she actually have committed this murder? Or would she have went after Trishelle, the person that has been talking about her this entire, last couple rounds? And I think that that's where Phaedra really fucked up here.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like that was even an option for her. You know, Phaedra played this game with a lot of loyalty and probably too much at that. She was loyal to a fault, and that's what's kind of gotten her in this position where she's pretty much backed into a corner. And it seemed like there were some plans to try to get Phaedra to stay that could have gone into circulation, but it just seemed like Phaedra was unprepared to go down any of those routes, whether it would have been to murder, whether it would have been to murder one of the Bravo girls, Sheree or MJ, whether it would have been to, you know, find a new suspect. It just seemed like Phaedra didn't know where to go from there. She didn't have another move to make.
Yeah, and it's tough. And I do think that that really shows her novice level when it comes to playing a strategic game. Like, obviously, she's able to be deceitful. Obviously, she's able to, you know, bring this lie up and be able to keep it hidden. But to be able to think forward multiple steps in, like, a chess or a poker game is something that you may not necessarily be able to do if you come from a show like The Bachelor or Real Housewives or Married to Medicine or whatever it is, because you never had to do that before. And I do think that is kind of the worry when you cast a show like The Traitors, is some of these people, like, the game is actually like a really multifaceted game. And if this is your first time playing and you're not, you know, used to that strategy, it may be a little bit hard to understand all the nuances. And that's what it seems that Phaedra was kind of struggling with.
Yeah, and I think that there was some attempts from Kate possibly to also try to get Phaedra out of this, but it was a lost cause. It really was for Kate, just because, you know, if Phaedra had no real strategy for the penultimate day, and, you know, but Kate's gonna try something. Kate's gonna try to get MJ and Sheree to think that Sandra is a traitor. And there's some chatter about that, but then Trishelle is going to kind of break this conversation up and is going to be like, okay, so, I mean, who are we going to save Phaedra from today, huh? And it's Trishelle has a very good point. You know, it's like, how is Phaedra going to get out of this one, seriously? But, you know, Kate's gonna try here, and it's not gonna work out for her all that much.
Yeah, listen, I give her credit for trying. I think that's what you want to do if you're a traitor. It really benefits Kate to get Phaedra to that final day, because you might be able to pull the wool over some of these people's eyes. And once they banish Phaedra, you're like, oh, well, I guess everybody else is a faithful. But now going into the final day, everybody's going to know there's at least one. So, you know, Kate did what she had to do. And unfortunately, though, it just wasn't able to pull off. And I do think a lot of it was because it seemed that she was gearing that towards Sandra as opposed to gearing it towards like a Trishelle or a CT, because we've talked about before that we think that Sandra kind of knows what's going on. She knows who the traitors are and stuff. If you are turning it on Trishelle and CT, I do think it's a lot easier to get the people like MJ, Sheree, and even Phaedra on board to get them out. But when you're turning it on one of the allies of Phaedra, you know, you have to essentially make MJ and Sheree choose between their allies. That's just a little bit harder.
Yeah, I think, you know, we do see some strategy here from Kate, and it makes sense. I think she mentions, I don't know if this was before or after the mission where she mentions this, but she says, look, Phaedra is someone we can easily get tomorrow. Why not get someone who we don't know tonight? You want to have, like, you don't want to have those concerns tomorrow when the money's on the line. Rather swing big today, and if we miss, but at least we take that swing knowing that we have the potential, you know, to maybe get a mystery trader out, because you don't want to leave that mystery trader there when there's three or four people left and he or she steals all the money.
It's another thing that's really interesting here is if you banish Phaedra today, you're less likely to win the game, but you're more likely to win more money if you do end up winning, right? Because if you banish Phaedra today, then you're going to go on a wild goose chase to figure out who that final traitor is, and that may lead to only two faithfuls winning the game. But if you go ahead and you take a shot at somebody today and you're right, then you banish Phaedra the next day, and now you have to split that prize pool like four different ways. So if you want to be a selfish faithful, you know, it is not in your best interest to gun after somebody else today. It is your best interest to probably just to take out Phaedra, or to take out a knowing faithful that you think maybe doesn't have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, I think that there are shades of strategy here that you and I, as, you know, students of reality TV are picking up on. But these people that aren't exactly as well versed as maybe you and I are on this. But you can see the development there. And with Sandra, look, Sandra and CT are the real veterans here, and we can throw Trishelle in there. Trishelle has played a pretty strategic game for the most part. But as faithfuls, their strategy is really just to not get murdered because they know they're not going to get banned. And so keeping Phaedra really does benefit Sandra. And I think Sandra really does want to keep Phaedra in the game for this round, but she's struggling to find any sort of option. And she doesn't want to be the one to come up with an option because that puts a target on her back. But she's just kind of like she's playing that chess game with Phaedra, and she's like, she wants Phaedra to come up with some alternate solution, and Phaedra's just not giving her anything.
Yeah, and as much as I think that Sandra's a great game player, I do think it's a misstep from her to want to still work with Phaedra at this point. Because you got to think, when you're getting down to MJ, Sheree, you're getting down low numbers, the chances of Phaedra murdering you, despite the fact that she's been loyal to you this entire game, goes up. Because if she doesn't want to take out her Bravo girls, you know, obviously she can't take out Kate, she's not going to take out Sheree, and MJ and Sandra, from what it seems, are like pretty close to each other in terms of like who Phaedra actually cares about the most. Yeah, she would probably kill Trishelle or CT, but like, you know, give her more options. Like, this is at the time where you probably do want to take that shot at Phaedra if you are confident she is, if you're Sandra. And once again, Sandra is probably not only playing this game to win, she's probably playing this game to win with as few faithfuls as possible so she can get more money, just knowing her. So she's probably thinking kind of along the same lines I mentioned earlier that Trishelle was saying, where if you take out Phaedra now, you know, you may have two or three attempts before you actually get out the other traitor, and that would leave Sandra with upwards of like $100,000if she is the winner in that fashion.
I mean, I personally think that her playing with Phaedra until the final day is a good strategy. I'm for that. I think that with Phaedra, she knows she's probably not going to get murdered, but she doesn't like, and she's assuming there is a second traitor out there, and she knows it's not her. She knows it's probably not Trishelle. And so she's narrowing down her option. She probably thinks it's another Bravo girl, considering CT kind of flipped on Phaedra and is not being accused as the traitor. So Sandra probably thinks the second traitor is either MJ, Kate, or Sheree. And so because you have that Bravo monopoly in Traitor's Tower, you want to keep with the Bravo people as much as possible. And now, but then when you see this contingency of people from Bravo that are still going along with this Phaedra banishment idea, it kind of makes it to where she has no other option but to vote for her. But I think that at this point, like, I just think Kate's not playing the best Traitor 2 game that she possibly could, because if she could, I really do think that she could have saved Phaedra for one more night.
Yeah, I just would be worried at if she would potentially get killed. And obviously, you know, we know that she's been working with them, but you have less options at the end of the game. And I would be worried if they did banish maybe, let's say, a Trishelle or CT this round, you know, would Phaedra and Kate end up on a Sandra murder? Because, you know, Phaedra wouldn't let Sheree get killed. Maybe they say CT, but I think that CT they might want to leave as a decoy. I don't know. I just would be worried for Sandra. But either way, I don't think it's an egregious decision either way. But it really just shows how good Sandra is by thinking through all the options here.
Yeah. We're going to go quickly to the mission. That doesn't, you know, mean a whole lot. It's the floating raft challenge that we've seen in previous versions. They have to dig for gold and then carry the gold from a bunch of, you know, pontoons to get to the other side and drop it in the scale. And they can earn up to $30,000 for the pot. And then there's also a shield up for grabs. And in this task, it's very clear that Trishelle and CT were on the challenge at one point, and the rest of the cast was not. Sandra Sandra is this. Not any help. Kate's not any help. Sheree's not any help. Phaedra's not any help. MJ's not any help. This is CT and Trishelle's mission for sure.
I loved this because you saw these people who have no athletic ability at all. You know, Sandra has sat out at what, like 20 challenges on Survivor probably. And then you have all these plumpkins from the Bravo shows who have no athletic ability. I mean, this is when you need the Peters and the Bananas and the Kevins of the world. But it's so funny. This to me was my favorite challenge, not only in this season, but all of the Traitors franchises together. Because I think me and you kind of align. We're like, we really don't care about the challenges, right? Like, to me, it's like, I get it, you want to have a little bit of a break, but it really doesn't mean anything. You know, I wish the challenge was for, like, to get a hint to the traitor as opposed to the money or whatever. But for me, just to see these unathletic group, I mean, even CT, even though he's athletic, he's gained a few LBs. You know, it's been a decade since Trishelle's been on the challenge. So, you know, it wasn't like they were like Usain Bolt out there or a Ninja Warrior style jumping from platform to platform. It was just so fun to see, like, some of the most unathletic people I've ever seen on reality TV do something that was mildly athletic.
Yeah, but even without, you know, like Bananas and Kevin and Peter, they still managed to get all but about 1,650 from the possible pot. So they still did a decent job. The prize pot is standing at $158,100 to go, and that's a pretty good payday. But even if it's divided three or four ways by the rest of the faithfuls left after, you know, next week. They still did a decent job. MJ is going to find the shield pretty early and she's going to try to get some gold across. She's going to try to get across because that's how you earn the shield you don't just have to find it. You have to get it to the other side. She falls into the water, I think once or twice in the challenge. But after all the money is transported, she's going to give it one last go and she's going to get over to the other side and she's going to have the final shield of the season. So there will be a murder in the next episode, but we know it's not going to be MJ. So she's made it to the top five.
And I think that she would have been potentially in danger. You know, she's kind of in that Sandra spot that I mentioned earlier, where it was like, especially if Phaedra stays, you know, she's not going to go after Sheree. You know, I don't necessarily know if MJ would have been killed if she was really in danger, but she certainly should not be expecting not to be murdered. So I'm glad that she got it. I think it makes the killing a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. But we're going to go to the round table, essentially. I mean, there's not much else to talk about before that, except for Kate trying to push Sandra's name, which she did a little bit earlier in the episode, but then she's going to push for Sandra to be an option for tonight. And her reasoning behind that is not only to protect Phaedra, but to also, you know, get someone to her, but she doesn't want to push too much. And I don't blame her for wanting to push too much because if she pushes for Sandra and she's wrong, she ultimately becomes a big suspect. But the thing with being a traitor, and this is something that Kate hasn't figured out yet, and it's because she's a new traitor. When you're a traitor, you have to be super confident in every move you make. You can't go into plans with only 50%. You really have to give 100% of yourself to whichever plan you're going to. Every move you make has to have purpose. And it seems like she isn't doing that. Like when they talk about this, I believe she's talking with, it's her, it's maybe Sheree and Sandra and MJ are in the kitchen or in the dining room. And so she's talking with, like, I think it's Trishelle and maybe CT.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about, oh, well, maybe we should vote for someone other than Phaedra tonight. But she's not giving a name. Or I guess she kind of floats Sandra. But when Sandra comes into the conversation and tries to break it up, Kate mentions the exact same plan, but doesn't give a target. Which immediately, you don't need to be a two-time Survivor champion to realize that that is a huge red flag.
Yeah. it's tough, right? Because it almost is like the shoe's on the other foot. You know, early in the season, we saw Dan have a lot of heat on him as potentially being a traitor. Phaedra has absolutely none. And if Phaedra wants to keep Dan in the game, she has to stick her neck out for them and potentially, you know, slowly but surely start to unravel suspicion of her being a traitor. And she ends up, you know, I guess, like trying somewhat to you know, be loyal to him. But now we see that the shoe's on the other foot now, wherein Phaedra's the one that's so clear got the Scarlet Letter. It has to go home, and Kate has no suspicion on her, at least that we know of. But if she really wants to stick her neck out there for her and try to go after Sandra, it's slowly going to unveil that she potentially could be a traitor. So I do think that if Kate was going to go and defend Phaedra at all, she needs to go with a name that Phaedra gives her. And if Phaedra doesn't want to give you a name, then you just have to go ahead and cut her. I don't think that you should have picked Sandra, because not only is Sandra going to be able to have that sense and that suspicion that she's a target, as you mentioned before, she's not even good at hiding it, that it was Sandra, because she's going to change the subject. Give Sandra the exact reasoning of why she thinks that they should not go after Phaedra, but doesn't necessarily even give a name, follow through with it. So Sandra's going to know exactly. And, you know, we didn't get Kate calling out Sandra at the round table. And I think that if we did, I think it would have been really interesting to see Sandra turn all this around on Kate. And I assume that is what we will see at the final banishment of the season next week.
Yeah. So it's just the six of them, or it's just the seven of them at the round table. And it's very clear that Phaedra's going to go, and she kind of seems resigned to that fate. I think she's almost saying that she's a traitor without saying it. You know, she's like, I'm tired of fighting. And if she wasn't a traitor, I think she would obviously be fighting a lot harder. But she has had no argument left. And as a lawyer, and I feel like, you know, I mentioned it earlier, she didn't want to backstab, betray Kate. She didn't want to do the same thing with MJ or Sheree, or, you know, it just, or CT. She just didn't feel like it was. And the thing with Phaedra, her game, she never really targeted anybody that didn't come after her first.
Yeah. Yeah, so other than the people that they murdered.
Yeah, but even like, yeah, but the thing is, so like, she voted for Peppermint. That was like an easy vote. She voted for Ekin Sue in that weird vote with Max as the traitor, but then, or Max as the vote. Then she voted for Kevin instead of Larsa. She voted for Janelle. She voted for Dan, Parvati, Peter. And then she voted for CT because hashtag girl power for Phaedra. What did you think of Phaedra's roundtable? Did you like that? Were you accepting of it? What did you think of it?
No, I was annoyed. It's like, bitch, you came this far. But here's the thing is, her game died the moment that she looked Sheree in the eye and said that she was not a traitor. And even though she said she was no traitor, it was clear from her body language, and I'm sure Sheree picked up on this as well, that she was basically telling Sheree the truth, just with her body, not her words. And, you know, that to me, I think that she basically gave up. And I think she was resigned to the fact. It wouldn't even shock me if there was maybe an unseen clip of Sheree going to Phaedra and she was like, listen, I know that you're the traitor. I love you. I've been friends with you forever. And, you know, nothing changes with this. I understand it's a game, but I do have to vote you out here because that's what, you know, the premise of the show is. So I think that Phaedra knew ahead of time that her friends were going to vote for her. And I think that's why she didn't defend herself, is because she was already resigned to the fact and knew full well that her friends just didn't believe her anymore. And that's why she went ahead and did it. But obviously, you know, listen, Parvati fought, Dan fought, pretty much every traitor that you've ever seen has fought. It is frustrating when you see Phaedra, you know, basically roll over and die.
It just seemed like her and Kate were not on the same page.
Yeah, she really needed somebody to hold her hand. You know, in retrospect, I think going after, you know, a Sandra, you know, maybe a Trishel or CT as the traitor would have been better for Phaedra, because at least they would have had some strategic direction. Who knows, maybe even John Bercow with his political background might have had a decent idea that Kate, I think, is there for the drama and doesn't necessarily think strategically. I mean, you got two people that have never done this before. and one of them has to take the lead, and it should have been Phaedra as the person that is the OG, and she just didn't, even when her ass was on the line. So
I mean, she could have even just said, like, she could have said exactly what Kate said. Hey, if you guys really think I'm a traitor, wouldn't you rather get me out tomorrow? Like, you know, yeah, someone's getting murdered tonight no matter what. There's a second traitor out there, and I think it's you, Sandra.
Yeah. I mean, the fear is, though, especially if you're Trishel and CT, is like, okay, well, you've already voted for Phaedra once. If you allow her to go past the banishment, you could potentially be the one that's murdered, right? Now, obviously, MJ has no worries of that, so maybe it's in MJ's best interest. But I think if you're Sandra, you're like, well, fuck, if everybody thinks Phaedra's the case, maybe she's going to do something to shake things up and to kind of, like, put the suspicion off. So it's like,
She didn't need Sandra vote. She didn't need CT's vote. She didn't need Trishel's vote. She needed four votes. She had her, she had Kate, she had MJ, she had Sheree.
Yeah.
That's all she needed. And it would have been down to MJ. MJ would have been the swing vote again. And that would have been her way out. That really would have been, because what that would have done is, you know, MJ would be like, I don't have to worry about being murdered tonight. So it doesn't, like, I don't need to get a traitor out right now. Like, I can get a traitor out tomorrow, and I can vote for Phaedra tomorrow when the numbers are still going to be there.
Yeah. And you can replace MJ with Sandra.
Out. There was a way out, but obviously you and I were watching this in hindsight. You know, it's very different when you're in the moment, and it's very different also when you're not as, you know, studious of reality TV as you and I are.
I do think that also, like, if I was Phaedra, because she does come from the drama background, I always think about this. I'm like, if you come from the drama shows, giving drama is not a red alert like it would be for most people, right? Because this is what you are paid to do on Bravo. So I do think if Phaedra came at this and said, listen, Trishel has ostracized us the entire game with Burkow and everything. All of these people have been removed. We always thought that one of them probably was the traitor. Let's at least give Trishel a shot. And if she's not the traitor, then guess what? Fuck her, because she's been ostracizing us the entire game. Maybe the pettiness would have carried her as well. Like, even if the people like MJ and Sheree thought this way, maybe they're like, you know what? I don't like Trishel. I don't want to spend the money with her. Let me vote her out, and then we can worry about Phaedra tomorrow. I do wonder maybe if she went the petty route as opposed to try to, like, defend herself logically or whatever, if that actually would have helped. Because then at that point, if you're MJ, you're saying, well, you can't die tonight. You can't get killed. Sheree is like, well, she's probably not going to kill me because we're BFFs. And, you know, maybe there's a little bit of worry for Sandra, but like you said, you don't need Sandra's vote, right? So I just think that might have been the best way. Because in that time, you banish Trishel, you probably kill CT, and then who knows, maybe you're able to get it on, you know, Kate or Sandra the next night.
Yeah, there was a way out here for Phaedra. It just seemed like she was either not seeing it fully, or she just didn't want to. But yeah, that's going to be where the episode really ends. We've got six people, and let's try to map out how this finale is going to go, Wyatt. We know that Kate is going to have a chance to murder. She can't murder MJ, but she can murder CT, Sandra, Sheree, or Trishel. Let's think about what the best move for her, and then what she probably will do. What do you think is the best move for Kate in terms of a murder?
So I think the best move is probably, and I go back and forth on this, I think there's a couple of decent moves here, but I think that the best move is Sheree. And it's risky because you're leaving a duo in CT and Trishel in the game. But I do think that if Kate wants to go truly unnoticed, I do think you have to shake it up a little bit. I think Trishel and CT is just a little bit, you know, too obvious. And I think that if you're really trying to pin it on Sandra, I think going after Sheree is a lot easier to pin on Sandra than it would be like Trishel or CT.
Yeah, so if she can't murder MJ, Sandra is someone that she is, like, used as a potential, you know, target. So it wouldn't make sense for her to murder Sandra. So that leaves Sheree, Trishel, and CT. I don't think she's going to murder Sheree. I think, you know, she could have murdered, like, if she was going to murder Sheree, she should have done it instead of murdering John. And that would have done a lot more.
Well, she wouldn't have had Phaedra. Like, she wouldn't have Phaedra's blessing on that, though.
That's true. But still, I think that it's it's hard for me to see Sheree get murdered here by Kate. So that would leave CT and Trishelle. And I think that either makes sense. You know, CT makes sense in terms of, hey, he's the only guy left. Let's make this an all, let's ensure there's only women winning this season. You know, there could be something along that line. But it could also be Trishelle. You know, we've seen that, you know, Trishelle has not necessarily been on Kate's, you know, perfect side the whole season. And Trishelle is very much a traitor hunter, and Kate knows that. So I think that Trishelle is probably her best option to murder, and probably the one she will end up taking.
I think that Trishelle is definitely going to be the one that's murdered. I'll be shocked if it's not, because if it's CT, you have to remember she threw a rogue vote at CT. So that's going to get suspicion. Now, granted, she can always double down and say, you know what, like, of course I've been framed here. But I do think that she's not thinking at that level. And I think that she probably should take out Trishelle if she's not going to do Sheree. Now, I do think Sheree is probably the best overall, just because I think Sheree is the least likely to be like their traitor. And I think she's the least likely one to get banished. So if you think you can definitely pull the wool over her eyes, then yeah, you want to keep her. If you're trying to get her to like be voted out, you'd have to say, oh, Phaedra probably recruited her because they're best friends. But I think with CT, the thing about CT that has not been brought up one time is that he also knew Peter's thing as well as Party and Dan. And it really was kind of just like brushed aside by Peter, instead focusing on Parvati and Dan. But I do think in the final roundtable, that's something to bring up if you wanted to take out CT. I think Trishelle, obviously, I think there's still some suspicion there. If you had suspicion about Peter, you have to have at least a little bit of an inkling on Trishelle, although I think that she should be absolved of any type of accusations by this point. I do think you could probably put it on her. And obviously, she's going to be going after Sandra. So that's why I think Sheree is the best one to murder. But I'll be shocked if it's not Trishelle, just because I think that if she wants to do Sheree or CT, she's thinking significantly at a higher level. And I think Sandra, as we saw, almost has zero chance of being murdered, because not only is that Kate's best interest to go after it, the banishment, based on all the things that she's been planning, but Sandra does a great job and has that conversation with her where she confronts her in front of MJ. You kill Sandra at this moment, you know, you're going to have MJ's suspicions go off. So I think that Sandra is probably the most safe, and that makes me very happy.
Yeah, we could be witnessing another Sandro victory in 2024, which is really exciting to hear. But yeah, I just think that it's going to be really hard for Kate as a traitor to win this. But there is a way. Like, I genuinely think there's a way for Kate to win this. It's just going to be really difficult, because I guess we're going to be under the assumption that whoever gets banished five probably won't be able to reveal whether or not they are a traitor. And we've seen this in the past in some seasons, but not every season. I think it was, I think if I remember correctly, when Kate was banished at five, was she able to reveal if she was a faithful?
I believe that she did get to reveal that she was a
there a was faithful. There was some season of the traitor. I can't remember because we've seen so many. It may have honestly been in Australia. But like, did like there were they didn't reveal whether or not they were a traitor or a faithful. And it was like the last round table. It might have been in the in Australia, where there's five of them left and they can't reveal because there's only one traitor left. And maybe that's why.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, to me, that would be so good, is if we didn't get that reveal, because I really do think that if you don't reveal it straightforward, you probably will play down to like two people, because it's like, okay, like maybe my suspicion is on Kate. But if you vote out Kate, you know, you're still probably not going to be 100% sure it's not Sandra. So you probably will just go ahead and try to get her out. And then I guess maybe you can split between Sheree and the two challenge people. But I don't know. I just feel like it will be better TV if they don't reveal it, because I do think that you'll see more of the games played at the fire, where if they do reveal, let's say that Kate is the one that's banished, you know, I don't think that there will be much much interesting television at the fire pit, because I think everybody will just go ahead and say, okay, unless that Sandra or CT or one of these people actually wants to take a bigger chunk of that money, which would be interesting in its own right. I just don't know if I foresee that happening.
Yeah, I think I have a hard time seeing them actually be able to say, oh, so-and-so is a... I have a hard time saying that they're not going to reveal their status in the game, because that would, like, if Kate is banished at 5 and she says she's a traitor, then who's that to stop the Final Four from just saying, let's end the game now, and let's, you know, that doesn't add for a lot of, you know, like, drama, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm interested to see what they do. I mean, they're certainly aware that there's only one traitor left. So I'm sure production has some good things in store for us.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. We're gonna go through the rest of the cast, and you're gonna say whether they win or lose. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, CT, win or lose.
I think he's going to win.
I think CT is a winner here. Let's do Kate. Kate, win or lose?
I think she loses. I think she's going to get banished. I really don't think that you can win a war of words against Sandra. Like, I don't think that you can have the persuasive nature that she has. I think the only way that Sandra gets banished is if somebody like Trishel and CT are playing, like, multifaceted, and they're saying, hey, let's just banish Sandra and then we can go after Kate. And I just don't foresee that. So I do think that she's going to get banished.
But that, I mean, if Kate's able to get Sandra banished at 5 and then win the game from there, that would be impressive.
It would be.
I don't see how that happens. I don't see how that happens. But MJ, win or lose?
I think she wins.
Winner for MJ. What about Sandra?
I think that Sandra is going to win. I think that she's going to be able to convince, Sheree, MJ, and CT not to, you know, do the red thing. And I think that Sandra may consider playing a little cute and, you know, wanting more money. But I think at the end of the day, I think the win for Sandra means more to her than whatever the additional prize money would be if we went down from 4 to 3 winners or whatever. Because I think that as somebody that's kind of been shit on by a good portion of the Survivor community, I think just winning, I think for her means a lot for her legacy.
Yeah, I agree. Sheree, win or lose?
I think she wins. I don't really want her to win, per se, to be honest with you. I don't have any issue with her personally, but she's just kind of been like almost a nothing burger this entire season. So she would be the person that I'm the least happy about if she won. But I think that she is going to win.
And Trisha?
I think she's going to get killed.
Yeah. So you think CT, MJ, Sandra, Sheree will split the money 4 ways?
I think so. I don't want it to end in a 4-way split. I think so. I think that, like, I think they will reveal that Kate's a traitor. I do believe that. I think a lot of that comes into that. If they don't reveal that Kate's a traitor, I do think that you'll probably see Sandra get voted out, and then maybe a 3-way split between the other 3. But
that would be so disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You talk about heartbreaking.
Yeah. We have to prepare for ourselves for that, though, because I could definitely see that happening. It just depends. Now, the only way, like, I could see it not going this way is if, like, Kate murders Sandra. And then it puts, like, Trishel under, like, a microscope. And then they find a way to, like, but I do think that 3 out of those 4, at least, and possibly all 4 of CT, MJ, Sandra, Sheree will win.
Yeah, if she kills Sandra, I mean, like, everybody, at least Sheree and MJ are going to say, hey, like, Kate was, like, campaigning for Sandra to leave for, like, half the day yesterday. Maybe it's her. I think that that would even be worse for her in her game, and I think that we would probably see, you know, a 4-way split just to take out Sandra and add Trishel at that point.
Honestly, if I was Kate, that's what I would do. I would murder Sandra. Because Sandra's the one that's on to me the most. And then if that were to come up, say, oh, you were targeting Sandra most of the day, you're like, Yeah, but I was doing that because I was suspicious of her. We all have been suspicious of her at one point, and I was looking for a way to keep Phaedra potentially for tomorrow because it would have made more sense. But CT, you were in on that conversation too. I'd probably put it on CT, but I just don't see that happening. I think Kate's gonna have a hard time getting out of this, and I hope the four of them can win, because I think you're right. I think either the four of them win with Sandra, or I think the three of them win without Sandra, and that is like kind of where I'm hopeful that it ends. I hope it ends at four, but I don't
What's
know.
Crazy it's is like
interesting.
If they split it four ways, you know, after they split it four ways, you're basically just going to get your appearance fee again. It's not even that much money.
Potentially. But I mean, hey, like they're at 160K right now. They could win more. Last season, the final mission was worth $68,000.
Yeah. So I definitely could see it.
They were able to go from 182 to 250,000. So like maybe they can win, you know, $40,000. Maybe they can win $100,000 on this mission.
I think the final prize is going to be worth. I think the final prize is going to be 250. I think they're going to give them an opportunity to win all of the money they've lost. And something that we don't see in some of the other international versions, because the money is a little bit more important to the production company and the, you know, television and everything. But I think for Peacock, I mean, you've spent so much money just to get these people here in the house and everything. I mean, who cares if they leave with 220, 250? Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I agree. But this is, I think, a good place to stop for now. We'll be back again next week as we talk about the final. And then the week after, the reunion, which just filmed this past weekend, I heard that it will be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to these next 2 weeks to watch The Traitors and to talk with you, Wyatt, for our lovely listeners. Thank you so much for everyone who listens. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast for your Traitors fix-in and your reality TV fix-in. We have been covering Survivor 46, Challenge 39, among many other shows here at Reality Daily. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and come back to get your Reality Daily update. Thank you guys so much, and we will see y'all next week for the finale.